You are listening to the Way of Truth broadcast coming from the radio studios of the Church of God in Hagerstown, Maryland, United States of America. This is Alvin A. Craig speaking. We're certainly thankful that you're tuned our way. We invite you to stay with us as we bring you the gospel on today's Way of Truth broadcast. Our Heavenly Father, we are truly thankful for the privilege of presenting this gospel broadcast to this precious people today. We're trusting that the Holy Spirit will accompany it wherever it is being heard. May the Spirit be able to work with hearts and bless souls and get good to yourself and honor to yourself through our broadcast and through our efforts today. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
If you own the riches of this world, if you had great treasures untold, what would the profit be when you must die? If your name's not in the book of life,
I'd rather have my name in heaven's book. I'd rather have my treasures up above.
Jesus told the disciples that they were to rejoice, not because spirits were subject unto them, but because their name was written in heaven. And the way you get your name written in heaven is by being born again. For the Lord will write your name, those that are born of the Spirit. And it is possible for everyone, yes, it is possible for everyone to have their name recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life. But to do so, you must come God's way. At this point in our broadcast service, we'd like to invite you to visit our webpage. There you can find a number of our broadcasts and listen to any that you may have missed or hear them again at any time at your pleasure. Also, you may read our monthly Way of Truth magazine, and you'll find other articles there. And then you can join us in our regular services. Our Sunday morning service begins at 20 minutes before 11. Our evening worship service begins at 6. And our webpage address is www.wayoftruth.org. www.wayoftruth.org.
There's only one door, one door to heaven. Jesus planned it that way. The rich and the poor will go in the same way. truth and the light. I hear Jesus say, so if you want to go, you'll have to go in by Him, because there is no straight is the gate, and narrow the pathway, and few shall travel this way. This road leads home, and you're welcome to come. He will guide every step that you take. I am the way, the truth, and the light. I hear Jesus say, so go in by Him, because there is no other way.
Our subject for today's broadcast, Two Choices, and the lesson is based on the parable that we find in Luke chapter 15, verses 11 through 24, which we call the prodigal son, which we understand deals with a father, a mother, and two sons who were farmers. And I'd like to give you a little information in regard to farming of the biblical times. The Israelites first learned agriculture in Palestine after the conquest of Canaan. This, of course, would have been after they came out of Egypt. Every family probably received a piece of land marked off by stones that could not be removed lawfully. On my first trip to the Holy Land, I saw such stones that marked a border. And that's why we read in the scriptures about not removing the old landmarks. To maintain the fertility of the land, the law required that farms, vineyards, and olive orchards were to lie fallow in the seventh year. Plowing to prepare the land for sowing was done in autumn, when the early rains softened the ground that had become stone hard in the summer sun. This was done with a crude wooden plow drawn by oxen, or, if the soil was thin, with a mattock. The summer grain was sown between the end of January and the end of February. Between sowing and reaping, the crops were exposed to several dangers: the failure of the latter rain, the hot, drying easterly winds, and various kinds of pestilences, weeds, also palmer worms, the canker worms, the caterpillars, and the locusts. Barley was the first grain to be cut, and this was followed a few weeks later with wheat. The grain harvest generally lasted about 7 weeks, from Passover to Pentecost. Whole families moved out of their village homes to live in the fields until the harvest was over. And that information comes from Nelson's Illustrated Bible Dictionary. The family in the parable that we have before us, Jesus gave, seems to have consisted of father, mother, and two sons, I say. And it was the younger of the two sons who got tired of being a farmer and decided to leave. And that's the first choice that we want to refer to on the broadcast today. The younger said to his father, "Give me the portion of goods that falleth to me." And this was a law misused. A mistreated son could make such a request. However, if the father made an appeal to the magistrates and the son was found to be wrong, he was fined and he was denied his choice. And so the young man, the youngest of the two, left not many days after he made this request. And I might say in passing, it was rather an arrogant request. Give me that which is mine. Well, whose was it really? The father was the head of the home. He had labored and worked, but nevertheless, the younger son demanded that which was his. And so he makes his choice. He leaves father's house. The younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country. Now, when you leave father's house, you do not know how far sin will take you. And that's the thought of the parable that Jesus gave us here. So I say, whenever you leave father's house, you do not know how far sin will take you. We are told in the scriptures that he wasted his substance with riotous living. And the wasted his substance, how? Well, according to verse 30 of our lesson text today, he wasted his substance with riotous living. And we are told that this riotous living included harlots. Adam Clark says, "The readiest way in the world to exalt the body, debase the mind, ruin the soul, and destroy the substance is by wasting your substance with harlots." Now, money runs out after a while. While the young man was at home, father was responsible for meeting the obligations, paying the bills, providing the food, and so forth for the family. But whenever he took his journey and took what he had with him and began to live in riotous living, there was no income. It was all outgo. So money runs out after a while if there is no money coming in and only going out. And while he was paying the bills, doubtless he had many of what we call fair-weather friends. But whenever the money ran out, not only was his money gone, but his friends were gone as well. And that's not the end of the story. After his money ran out and his friends were gone, a mighty famine comes on the land and hunger sets in. Now what? What's he going to do? No more money? No job, no friends, a famine in the land? Well, farming was the only thing that he really knew. But he left home because he was tired of the lifestyle of farming. He had enough of farming, and he didn't want anything more to do with it. But now, money's gone, friends are gone, a famine is on the land, no job, what's he going to do? Well, he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. And what did he have to do? What did the man who hired him instruct him to do? He sent him into his field to feed swine. The basest and vilest of all employments, and to a Jew particularly degrading, and shame, contempt, and distress are wedded to sin, so Adam Clark says. So let's get the picture here. Here's a young Hebrew boy, tired of farming. He asks his father for what supposedly was coming to him. He takes it, and he leaves home, and he goes into a far country, and he spends his income, or what was given to him, in riotous living. And the money runs out. His friends are all gone. A famine comes on the land, and he's starving to death. And this is a picture of what sin will do to you, how far sin can take you, how low sin can take you. It seems that his meals did not go with the job. I don't know what the farmer was paying him, but he was sent into the field to feed pigs, to feed swine, something that was unclean to him. He had been brought up in a Hebrew home, and he was taught that swine were unclean, and they didn't have them on the farm where he lived and where he worked. But now that's where he was sent, to feed the swine. And, you know, he looked upon what he was feeding the swine. He got so hungry. We talk about being hungry. I dare say many of us don't even know what it really means to be hungry. But this young man really did. He got hungry, and he wanted something to eat, but the meals didn't come with the job. And so the Bible says he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. Now, the Bible doesn't say that he actually ate of what he was feeding the swine, but it does say that he looked at it and he considered it because he was so hungry. He would have fain filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. Homeless? Yes, homeless. No friends? Nothing to eat? What can he do now? Where can he go? What can he do? The lesson we are studying today, the prodigal son, is that when one leaves father's house to venture into a far country, he ends up with an empty purse, an empty stomach, and a starving soul. So Nelson's Bible Illustrated Bible Dictionary tells us. Now, let's come to the second choice. We're talking about the two choices that this young man that we know as the prodigal son made. So let's come to the second choice. When he came to himself, yes, while he was there feeding the swine, there in the hog pen, looking at what he was feeding them, thinking maybe he could eat some of it, he came to himself. What does it mean by coming to himself? He came to the place where he was willing to look at reality, where he was willing to face facts. And he considered and he thought. When he came to the place he was willing to be honest with himself, he thought of home. How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to eat and to spare? And I perish with hunger. Yes, when he came to himself, he began to think of home. He began to think of how good he had it at home, how plentiful the food was, and how comfortable the bed was, and how kind and loving father and mother were. And so he made a decision. Now, you know, a lot of people make decisions, but they don't carry them out. But the prodigal son, he made a decision. And he not only made a decision, but he carried it out. And he said, I will arise, and I will return to my father's house, and I'll tell him, I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Just let me be one of your hired servants. So he not only made a decision, but he carried it out. And here he goes. I don't know whether he had any shoes or not, but if so, they were worn out, and his clothes were ragged. And I don't know how far he had to journey, but he left where he was, and he journeyed on his way. Now, we understand that in Bible times, a man who had large plantations or farms, many times he would build a tower, and he would go up in that tower, and he'd look out over the fields to see how his hands were working and how things were going. And possibly this father was up in the tower, and he saw this figure coming. And he looked at him for a while, and he finally concluded that that was his son that had left home. He come down out of that tower, and he went on his way to meet his son. And whenever he got to his son, the son started to confess, as he said he would. But the father didn't let him finish. While he was yet a way far off, the father saw him and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him again and again. And the father would not allow the son even to complete his confession. He instructed one of his servants to go kill the fatted calf and prepare food for his son, and he instructed another to go get the very best robe that he could find that was in the house and put it on his son, and he also had him to put shoes on his feet, and he put a ring on his hand, and which was a sign of honor and dignity and of acceptance. And I say he put shoes on his feet. You know, when we read about the armor that God gave us, he gave us shoes, and the shoes of peace. Yes, our feet are shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And whenever you leave sin, whenever you leave the hog pen, and you come to the Lord Jesus Christ, repenting of your sins, he gives you peace. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And so, Father instructed him to kill the fatted calf, and he instructed him to cover him with the best robe that could have, put shoes on his feet. And he called in his servants and his neighbors, and he said, "Rejoice with me, my son that was lost. My son that was dead is now found and is alive." Yes, when you're living in sin, you're lost. You're undone. You're away from home. And you are dead in trespasses and sins. So whenever you come to yourself, leave the hog pen of sin and come back with a broken and a contrite heart. Note the difference in the attitude of this young man. When he left, he was haughty and arrogant. "Give me, give me." But whenever he come back, he came back with a humble attitude, a very meek, humble attitude. "I'm not worthy to be called your son. And just let me be one of your hard servants." Now what we have in this parable is a person going into a life of sin and being taken low by sin and coming to himself, realizing his lost and undone state, and he decides to leave that kind of a life, and he comes to the Lord Jesus Christ with a broken and a contrite heart, repenting of his sins. And our Heavenly Father, because of the supreme sacrifice of the Son of God, forgives. If we will but confess, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, from shame to honor, from poor and ragged to the robes of righteousness, from death to life, from the hog pen of sin to the house of God. Yes, God does have a house, and the way into his house is by being born again of the Spirit of God, repenting of and forsaking your sins, and coming to God with a broken and a contrite heart, and God saves you, and he makes you a member of his house. Yes, Jesus told the disciples, "Rejoice not because the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven." So whenever you enter the kingdom of God, whenever you enter the house of God by the spiritual birth, your name is written in the Lamb's book of life. No wonder the Apostle John said in John chapter 3 and verse 1, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God." This parable betrays to us, or shows to us, the story of love, how God loved the wayward one, and how God willingly forgave him and made him a member of the family of God, the house of God. And this love is extended not to a select few, but to whosoever will. Whosoever will may come and drink of the waters of life freely. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but should have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Yes, this young man made two choices. The first was a very bad mistake and a bad choice, and he suffered greatly for it. But his second choice was the right choice. He made the choice to return to Father's house and how gladly the Father was to receive him, to restore him to sonship. And this love is extended to all. This opportunity of becoming a part of the family of God is extended to all. Again I say, whosoever will may come and drink of the waters of life freely. Those of you who are listening to this broadcast today and are outside the fold of God, could I encourage you to look at the choice of this young man, the choice that he made to leave home and to enter into sin and what it meant, and also the choice to leave sin and to return to the Father and what it meant. Could I encourage anyone listening to the broadcast today who is out there in the hog pen of sin, arise and return to Father's house and let him cleanse you and give you that white robe of righteousness and shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace and write your name in the Lamb's book of life. The Lord is willing and ready to do this if you will but leave the hog pen of sin and return to him. Heavenly Father, bless these thoughts to our precious congregation today. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. It's been a privilege to share another Way of Truth broadcast with you. We do trust that it has been a blessing. If so, why not let us know? Our postal address is the Way of Truth broadcast, Post Office Box 88, Hagerstown, Maryland, 21741, USA. That's the Way of Truth broadcast, Post Office Box 88, Hagerstown, Maryland, 21741, USA. If you have a prayer request that you'd like to share with us, we trust that you'll feel free to send it in. Our mailing address again, the Way of Truth broadcast, Post Office Box 88, Hagerstown, Maryland, 21741, USA. Now, our email address is truth@fred.net, truth@fred.net. Our fax number is 301-739-7173, 301-739-7173. Our webpage address again, www.wayoftruth.org. And remember, you can join us in our services. Sunday morning service begins 20 minutes before 11, and our evening worship service begins at 6. And our services are broadcast live over the Internet. And again, our webpage address, www.wayoftruth.org. Now, this is Alvin A. Craig. We thank you for listening to today's Way of Truth broadcast, and we'd like to invite you to tune in the station next week when, again, the Lord willing, we'll be coming your way with another Way of Truth broadcast. Until then, may the blessings of heaven rest in and abide upon each and every one of you, is our sincere prayer.
We have heard.